PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Hey gang, it's Chris. I'm chilling in the Crespediso studio and I'm drinking Orange Blossom Pilsner. This stuff is delicious and you know it. It's made with real honey, but that doesn't mean it's sweet. That sweetness gets it gets fermented out by the yeast. That's how that works. It becomes amazing alcohol, and then instead of a sweet drink, you have a nice crisp beverage that we know as Orange Blossom Pilsner. So good. Love it. Drink it. It's great. Also, guys, heads up, check your local suppliers, especially here in Florida. 16-ounce cans of OBP are about to hit the market. That's just that much more drinking goodness for every can, every serving. Can't wait to get my hands on some of those. And if you find these 16-ounce cans, or if you're just drinking OBP in general, take some pictures. Let us know. Share them with us on social media. On Instagram, Cinema Crespediso, or on Twitter, at Crespediso. Let us know. Maybe even use the hashtag, I don't know, hashtag I love OBP. Take that picture. Send it to us. Let us know you're drinking it. It's so good. And then also, don't forget, they got that toasted coconut porter, that back in the day IPA, and that OBP squared. So check out any of the delicious beers from Orange Blossom Brewing. Take some cool pictures. Share them with us, and we will share them with the world. So remember, drink OBP. The bees need the work.
Where are you going?
Spain.
Madrid or Barcelona?
Madrid first. Have you been there?
I hear they don't eat dinner until midnight.
You want to go?
Thanks, but you have a good time.
You sure I can't twist your arm?
Thanks for saying that, but no.
Are you scared of me?
A little bit.
This is the Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
You are not properly sedated, call 348-844 immediately. Failure to do so may result in prosecution for criminal drug evasion.
For more enjoyment and greater efficiency, consumption is being standardized. We are sorry.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Yeah, what's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 282 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, showing the Crespediso studio, starting right away with your threat update. Current threat level is Aqua. Current threat level is Aqua. Despair is a valid outcome. Drewster Cogburn!
What up, dude?
How's it going, Drew?
I mean, apparently despair is a valid outcome, so I'm in despair.
Something you know—it's
valid. Well, something I know very much about.
It's validating your despair. Well, it's the current threat level.
It's validating my entire life, which is perpetual.
Your entire life is shaded aqua.
Aqua. Sure, I'm okay with that.
Here you go. Shades of pink. How do you feel about that?
Okay.
A little bit of neon pink in there.
I like a magenta, if you will. Or like that hot pink.
I like that hot pink. Drew Sagagwer, we got ourselves a first time guest. Fellow podcaster, pop culture podcaster, doing their show while at work. I don't know how they're pulling off. We're going to have to ask them about that. From the Hard at Work podcast, ladies and gentlemen, it is Hard at Work, Nick. Yeah, Nick.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing, dude?
Yeah, I don't know how much longer we're going to get away with doing the show the way we do it.
I mean,
do you seriously do it at work?
We do, yeah.
That's amazing.
How? On our lunch break. On our lunch break.
That's so dedication.
It's my time, you know?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, technically, yeah, it is. I mean, yeah.
But then I go back to my office and I eat.
So. Yeah, you can eat.
That's the part I do undercover. I don't want them knowing that part.
There you go. The actual eating part is. That's the secret.
On the clock,
that's the secret. The eating is on the clock.
There you go.
Well, you know what? I'm fine with that. Eat at your desk. Then they, what are you going to say? They're going to be like, you shouldn't be doing that. You're going to screw you. Nick, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
It's nice to meet you.
Hey, you too.
We got an interesting podcast. It's you and Matt.
Yep.
All right. Hard working Matt.
He literally works right next to me.
That's crazy.
Our desks are like connected.
What? So what? That happened first. You guys were working next to each
yeah.
other, and then you realized that you enjoyed talking to each other about stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. We had a lot of similar interests, and we're talking all the time anyway.
We could make this a
podcast. We should record this shit.
Yeah, why not, right?
Yeah.
It's so easy these days to do it. So you are doing it at work. What kind of equipment are you guys using? Like, you're just breaking a couple mics?
It's a mobile recorder.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, yeah, we bought a couple mics probably like 6 months ago.
Like XLR mics that you plug into the recorder itself?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it a Tascam brand?
It is a Tascam.
Yeah, shout out to Tascam. This episode brought to you by Not Tascam.
Yeah, if you,
they got a lot of money.
If you Amazon, you know, podcasting equipment, that's what comes up.
Yeah, it is. That and a bunch of Behringer boards. And
yeah, I'm like, well, we're going to start small here.
Man, all these audio hardware companies must
love
podcasting.
It.
Like, thank,
love it.
Thank God. Seriously. We thought radio was dying.
I was
but
about
now,
to say that they're probably having a new renaissance because of it.
Right. All the at home, it's like it, back in the.
It was.
Yeah. What Radio Shack turned into, it started from like, here's just a couple of radios, some equipment to like remote control cars and a bunch of wires for anything you need. And then all that shit is like, now it's available at 7-Eleven.
Yeah. Most
to,
of it.
You go to 7-Eleven next to the rack of Yellow Tail wine, they have drones. So what do you need a Radio Shack for anymore?
No, it's
you know,
true, yeah.
It's so that equipment. So, you, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the debut of our new show, Drusa Cogburn and guest, and Drusa Cogburn and Chris talk to guests about radio equipment
and stuff.
It's Drew,
riveting.
Drew, what's your favorite type of radio?
I'm not really into radio.
No, all right, hard at work. Nick, what's your favorite type of radio?
Yeah, don't listen to the radio.
Well, listen, all right. My favorite type of radio is Cuba Gooding Jr. That was our first and last episode of Drusa Cogburn and Chris talk to guests about radio and stuff.
And stuff.
We had
stuff.
A good run, boys.
It was a good run. I think it was a good show. Maybe if the fans really clamor for it and petition,
we'll come back.
We could do a reunion down the road. You know, after we buried the hatchet, and you know, our significant others reach out, and they're the ones who facilitate the. You know what I'm talking about, right, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it happens. All those behind the podcast specials on VH1. Remember those from the 90s? Behind
Ooh,
the podcast?
You mean behind the music?
No, behind the behind the podcast special. Don't you remember those?
No.
Is this a Mandela effect thing? Behind
yes.
the music? Who listened to music?
That will be the future of VH1, though, right?
Right? Yeah, VH1.
Behind the podcast.
But what will VH stand for? Video History 1? Right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
That works.
Music videos are... Donald Glover's making music videos relevant again. Did he do with one video?
I mean,
I don't think so. Just with one video.
Music videos have gone away from television and haven't. Chris.
Now it's all on YouTube.
They've been making music videos. They never stopped making music videos.
But their prominence in pop culture dwindled as the channels dedicated to showing music videos stopped showing them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah,
now it's all YouTube. Streaming.
It's all YouTube. Now you gotta find it yourself. Well, yeah, how do you find these things? They gotta go viral. How do they go viral? Man, it's hard. It's hard. Drew, we should make a viral music video.
That's not the way it works, Chris.
People see it when it pops up on their Facebook feed.
And then they watch it or they don't. And then they share or they don't. How many people?
You can't go out trying to make a viral video.
Drew, we're gonna make something that's viral. Let's make a viral video.
So what, you just wanna inject somebody with AIDS? That's a viral video, Chris. It'll go real viral real quick, too.
That's like that Brandon Cronenberg movie. Viral, I think it's called? Or is it called Anti-Viral? He has a movie about Brandon Cronenberg. David Cronenberg's son did a movie about people who...
Oh, David Cronenberg has a kid, that poor bastard.
Yeah, and well, he ended up making movies that aren't as good as his dad's. And this one is about people who they willingly get infected with diseases that their favorite celebrities have. So they,
what,
can, be
so they
like,
can be more like their celebrities?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
They can share in the experience.
Yes.
So
like that's crazy.
Yeah, that's a pretty crazy concept. I think that's what it's called, antiviral.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Yeah, well, obviously commentary on how people love celebrities and go so far out of the way to mimic them. And you know, man, I'm flipping through this Bumble, half these girls out here trying to look like Kylie Jenner. Like that's something that's desirable. It's so annoying.
Is it desirable?
It's not.
According to who?
It's not, because these girls walking around with eyebrows that look like Groucho Marx. They got these gigantic black rectangles like in the middle of their forehead, thinking that that looks good. You know,
Muppets.
Oh my God. They're, it's just, Ladies and gentlemen, we are getting ready to start the show in 3, 2.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week. Cinema Crespediso streaming.
That's right, it's time for the Cinema Crespediso streaming Pick of the Week. This is where we let you know, instead of sitting there on your couch flipping through Hulu, Amazon, Netflix for hours and hours upon end when you actually should just be watching something, we try to help you out and we give you at least one suggestion. So here we go. What is this week's Pick of the Week, Nick?
This week's is Insomnia,
ooh,
which is found on Amazon Prime right now.
Yes, it is. And Drew's going to check to see if it's available anywhere else. Oh, excuse me. I just put there. Insomnia.
Now, is this the one with Robin Williams?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Robin Williams, Al Pacino.
I have seen that. Long time ago.
It's a Christopher Nolan movie.
Yeah, an early one, right?
It's an earlier one. It's the one he did right before Batman. Movies he did, following is his little, like, $2,000 practically student movie, right? A little black and white movie. Memento is what got him noticed on film festival circuits with Guy Pearce. Yep. He got that to make, that got him the clout to make Insomnia, which is like a maybe $50-60 million budget movie. So it's a mid budget, which they don't make these types of movies anymore.
A lot of that probably just went to the actors.
Yeah, a lot goes to the actors. Huge precisely. And it's shot in location in, like, up in Alaska. Hilary Swank is in it. She plays the young cop who's like, it looks up to Al Pacino's old veteran cop character.
It's funny, I don't remember that, but it's probably before I knew who she was.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is right around, it's a maybe, I can't place this around Million Dollar Baby. This may be after Million Dollar Baby. It's definitely after Boys Don't Cry.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, that was a 90s one. For sure after The Next Karate Kid.
Million Dollar Baby was 2004. That was 2 years after this.
Million Dollar Baby was still to come.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Interesting. So that was her second Academy Award go around. So yeah, Insomnia, a great movie in which Robin Williams plays a killer, right? Mm. And, it's actually, he's a writer. And then he just, like, struck a relationship with a girl and then killed her. They found the body. The whole investigation becomes a cat and mouse thing between him and Al Pacino in this town in Alaska. Now, here's where the Insomnia thing kicks in. You know, Christopher Nolan, all of his movies have to have some sort of gimmick.
Yes.
Even with his Batman movies, because after this, he would do Batman Begins. In this movie, Al Pacino is suffering from extreme guilt. You find out why towards the end of the movie, and that's keeping him awake. He's having trouble sleeping, so he's having insomnia. Exacerbating the problem is the fact that he's in some Alaskan town where the sun is up
for
4 or 5 months in a row. Uh-huh. The sun doesn't go down because of the way it's positioned. Yeah. And so it's constant daylight. He can't get his room dark enough to sleep. And so he's like going kind of insomnia crazy over a couple of days while he's trying to solve this murder.
Which makes it even more creepy and suspenseful and tense.
Yeah, it does. And it may be Al Pacino's last really good movie.
I think it was.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
After this, he really took a dive.
Yeah, I want to say his last good performance either, because he did some good stuff for HBO.
Yeah.
Like when he did Phil Spector and Kevorkian and all that stuff. That was all fine. But for like theatrical release, I mean, after that, it was like Jack and Jill. Mm. Or direct-to-video movies. Mm. Al Pacino, buddy.
He's got bills to pay, Chris.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, he's Al Pacino.
I mean,
I feel like
you better take
a chance on the guy, right?
Yeah, right?
He's probably got ex-wives and kids out the yin-yang.
He doesn't have ex-wives. He has one wife, Beverly D'Angelo. They've been married for a long time.
Mm.
The lady from all the vacation movies. National Lampoon Vacation movies.
I know who Beverly D'Angelo is.
Well, for people listening, they may not know. They may need the quick, you know. I know you feel like it's just us talking.
Chris?
But Drew, there are literally dozens of people listening to the show, and maybe two of them don't know.
They should murder themselves.
Hey, don't murder yourself. I mean, unless you set the podcast auto-subscribe for a while.
Someone to pay for Scarface 2. Get that going.
Yes.
I thought they were remaking that.
They're doing the remake. I kind of like the idea of Scarface 2, where like it's revealed that Tony Montana, even though he got shot up, he didn't die. And then he's an old man.
He's the six million dollar coked up.
Yeah.
The $6 million Montana.
Yes. Let's mash up the new $6 billion man with Scarface 2. Make $6 billion Montana. And it's old man Al Pacino, and like they just packed all his bullet wounds with Coke and then gave him robot arms.
I would watch the shit out of that.
That would be amazing. I'm in. Drew, start writing it.
All right, let's go.
All right. Insomnia, fantastic movie. Christopher Nolan. It's also a remake, too, if people want to check out the... I think it was maybe a few years earlier. And it's with the Skarsgård. Drew. I think Stellan? The original Insomnia that came out like 3 or 4 years before.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and...
kind of like Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
Yes, exactly.
Had the same guy.
Exactly, and it's like almost exactly the same story and all plays out the same way.
97?
97, okay, so maybe? A good 6 years Hang earlier. On. Yeah. And... It's so the thing
it's Stellan.
So the only difference between them are pretty much the actors, the fact that it's English language, and Christopher Nolan's like style and his like real emphasis on the little tricks that are happening. I'm making the DVDs and the commentary track that Christopher Nolan did. It's not the movie from start to finish. He doesn't sit down and watch the movie and then tell you it. And it's even explained when it starts up. All the scenes of the movie are rearranged. And they're shown to you in the order that they were shot. Like day one, day two, day three of the production. So then Christopher Nolan is going through the entire production. Which is very interesting. But so then the movie then is like, you're not watching the movie as a movie because everything is all out of order. And then it's just Nolan explaining what you're seeing and when it was what was done that day.
Why they shot it.
Yeah, why it was shot that way. Yes, yeah. So it's actually, if you're into making movies, it's fascinating. It really is. But it also can be a little jarring because now you're watching a movie and all of a sudden it just cuts hard and then it just jumps to another scene. You're like, whoa, it's strange. It's a weird.
I've heard someone did a cut of Memento in order as well.
Actually, on the special edition Memento DVD, which I think I still have somewhere, first off, on the menu screen, there's no words. It's all like images or whatever, and you have to just hit the right images in the right sequence. And then that will... Just look up on the internet, you can find it. But hit the images in the right sequence, and that will play the movie backwards. So then, it's actually on the special edition DVD. It'll just go to the credits, and it'll show you the credits, and then it'll just play each scene in backwards order. And it's a... It doesn't work as well as you would think it would.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's meant... The movie's meant to be seen the way it is. So then when you reverse everything, like, all the scene in and outs are weird, and, like, they don't... exactly match up like you thought think they would. It's pretty strange.
Well, plus there's the black and white scenes that are cut in that are out of the
order anyway. Yeah, which I think then they like take those out or rearrange them. It's a little more than merely showing you each scene in sequential order, like in reverse sequential order. They actually do some rearranging of stuff, and it's strange. It doesn't work like you would. Like, oh, I thought those would work better.
Yeah.
But it is cool that they did it, went ahead, shot for it, put it on the special edition DVD. It's just another thing that you can do on there. It's that's the way they used to do things when that was a commodity.
Yeah.
Now it's all just download it or stream it and then, right? When was the last time you watched a special edition of anything, Drew?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Lord of the Rings extended edition.
That might be the one. I'm not even sure if I made it through all the way of all of those.
Man, I almost watch everything on those three extended edition DVDs that also had all the hours of special, because talking about college, my final years of college, yeah. I had way more time, obviously. I watched almost 100% of the stuff on there. Wow. I did watch 100% of the footage presented on the Seinfeld complete series box set.
Really?
Yeah.
Bonus episodes or something?
Not bonus episodes, but every episode that has commentary tracks, I watched them with their commentary tracks as well. Wow. Every season, and there are 9 seasons, have an hour-long featurette, like a documentary sort of thing about that season. I watched all of that, and then any special features, all the deleted scenes from all the episodes, I watched all of that. Wow. It took me 4 months to go through everything. Yeah, this was back in like 2006, 2007.
I only watched Seinfeld in syndication, so I haven't even seen all the episodes, I bet.
That's the thing. That's what was exciting, because... I had only watched it I remember when it was first on, like the last few seasons, I was in middle school, and I did watch it, so that was a long time ago, mid-90s. And then watching in syndication, whenever it was on, I would watch it, always watch it. And then I felt like it was very rare when I was seeing episodes I had never seen before.
Yeah.
So when I got the box set, I was like, all right, I'm going to find out if there are any episodes I had never seen, and there was only one episode in the 8th or 9th season.
That just fell through the cracks on TV.
For me. But then when I mentioned that one to other people, they're all like, why? You haven't seen that one? Like, to them, it's like, it was a classic episode. It's the Merv Griffin one, where Kramer finds Merv Griffin's set, Drew. Remember mm-hmm. that one?
Yeah.
And then he puts his set in his apartment. In his living room.
Jerry comes in as like a guest. Oh, it's Jerry Seinfeld!
And Kramer just starts living his life like he's a talk show host.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there are cameras in front of him. And the funny thing is, there are. But yeah. They're TV cameras for the TV show.
For
the
TV show.
He doesn't really know that. Yeah, they don't break the fourth wall.
Very meta.
So it was weird.
Very meta. Yes. Mm-hmm. And other people were like, you hadn't seen that one? I was like, no. Bloop. And then it was very special because I was like, oh, it's like a Seinfeld just for me that I had never seen before. And it's actually a good one. I like it quite a bit. All right, there you go. That's your human pick of the week. Insomnia people checking out. Good stuff. Good pick, Nick. Well done. Those are done with your...
You got magic hands.
Exactly. Those are done with your fingies. Drewster Cogburn, let us start talking about dollar bills. And go over to that box office. Dollar bills, y'all. Where are we starting our top five?
Top five? Well, I'm going to start number six, Chris.
Oh, that was pretty long. Number six. That's mm-hmm. crazy. All
right. Upgrade.
Upgrade.
Made $4.458 million. Seems
I've
total.
Seen the trailer for this. It looks rad.
You did see it?
I never saw a trailer. I just saw ads on the Facebook.
You saw
well, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. There was no actual trailer.
Oh, you saw it on Facebook? You saw the trailer on Facebook? Okay,
there
you
go. It's starring poor man's Tom Hardy.
Yes, Logan Marshall Green.
I don't know what his name is.
Marshall hyphen Green. He is American Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Poor man's Tom Hardy.
Yep.
But to be honest, though, Drew, if... For example, Venom, Eddie Brock. Mm-hmm. Just give me this guy.
Yeah, no, seriously,
that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, instead of Tom Hardy's bad American accent,
they didn't need Tom Hardy for that.
You don't need Tom Hardy for that. Now,
especially not for this Venom movie.
Now that's the thing. Tom Hardy wanted to be Venom. It's his idea. That's why. It's
yeah,
not
you're
like
going to turn the guy down.
No, I'm not going to turn the guy down. I'm going to let him waste Sony's money and put out a shit movie.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be shit. Still waiting for him to get around to that. What's that? Sam Fisher. Spy, the spy game.
Splinter Cell?
Yes.
Thank
Splinter
you.
Cell, correct.
Why did that escape me? I love that game so much.
From Chaos Theory on.
I love the first three ones that I played.
I played from Chaos Theory on.
I don't know which
the
one.
The only one I've played is Conviction, but I loved it.
Yeah, that was fun. That was one of the later ones.
I mean, they're all the same. They got more. It's all the sneaking around.
Well, the later ones, they got a little bit more action heavy. Where Sam Fisher is more of like a Jason Bourne type. Where like, yeah, you can still do the creepy stuff and creep around classic, or you can just run on gangster style and just like whoop four motherfuckers' asses
gives
in like
you
2 seconds.
Gives you more of the option to be more like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you could tackle the missions in a different way.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that it gives you that option because the original ones were very rigid.
Very
like,
sneaky.
Like you can't even...
Nope, don't move because like, if that motherfucker sees you, literally he kills you game over.
Yeah, or we can charge the reason where you can't hurt anyone, so you have to make sure you just like evade detection at all times, which can get annoying.
Yeah,
anyway.
They did this cool thing where it projected your mission like on a wall somewhere. Like it was with a projector.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, I thought that was really
unique.
That's
really cool. They always were finding cool things to do video game-wise with those Splinter Cell games, I felt like. And I also love that Michael Ironside was the voice of Sam Fisher in all the games. That guy's got a great voice.
He was great.
Yeah, great voice. But Tom Hardy had, like, years ago, optioned Splinter Cell, and he's been trying to get it made for a while. So it's actually... The reason why he wasn't in Suicide Squad was because he was supposed to be shooting Splinter Cell.
Is he supposed to be Boomerang? Because that guy looked just like him, too.
Exactly, yes. They just got Jai Courtney to do Tom Hardy, Australian Tom Hardy, which is, man, it's weird when you start seeing these things happen, right?
Yep.
So anyway, this movie Upgrade comes out with fake Tom Hardy. And it's about a dude who gets like, what's the description? It's like he gets some sci-fi tech put in him, and then he's on a revenge mission of some sort.
Hang on, let's see. It's after his wife is killed during a brutal mugging.
Brutal mugging.
Also leaves him paralyzed.
Ooh.
Fake Tom Hardy is approached by a billionaire inventor
with
an experimental cure that will, quote unquote, upgrade his body.
Upgrade your gray matter.
The cure is
an
artificial intelligence implant called STEM, gives Gray physical abilities beyond anything experienced and the ability to relentlessly claim vengeance against those who murdered his wife. And left him for dead.
Oh shit, this is how they do Scarface 2. He gets an upgrade.
There you go. It's just sci-fi it up, right? We'll just pretend that Scarface took place not in 1983, but 2083.
That might be the problem.
Nah, we'll just move it forward. They do the same thing with Shakespeare all the time. It'll be Baz Luhrmann's Scarface 2. He'll add some pop songs, and then we'll all just agree that it's great. Without really thinking about it. He'll put Ewan McGregor in there somewhere.
Yeah, yo.
What's the Rotten Tomatoes scores is pretty good. Oh,
I mean, it's not certified,
it's
like for
80 something.
85%.
That's not bad.
Out of 73 reviews.
That's pretty good. Average rating in the sevens. Seven.
Well,
what's the consensus?
Like, its augmented protagonist upgrades old fashioned innards, get a high tech boost. One made even more powerful thanks to sharp humor and a solidly well told story.
So all right.
It's not bad.
When I did look this up,
but it's Blumhouse, Chris.
So it's cheap, that's what that means. When I looked this up a few days ago, I noticed that the director is a fellow named Lee Whannell? Whannell? W-H-A-N-L-E-L, something like that? I don't know.
N-N-E-L, yes.
Interested in seeing what he can do.
He also wrote the Insidious movies.
Yeah, he wrote and directed them, and then James Wan produced them. The Conjuring and the first Saw movie.
He was also a screenwriter on Saw.
So that's how him and James Wan. Yeah. Him and James Wan go back to Saw.
And then executive producer and screenwriter on Saw 2 and 3 and 4. All of them.
He was involved in all the Saw stuff.
All of them.
So him and James Wan go back together. They did Saw together, and then they've been kind of shaping horror for the last 20 years.
And he also which is pretty
impressive.
Played the character Axel in The Matrix Reloaded.
Axel, I don't remember.
Reloaded. He's on there. He's one of his credits.
Wow. Good for him. All right. Well, there you go. Upgrade. You know what? In the summer, coming out at number 6 with like literally only online marketing. Not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
I think that's pretty impressive. Blumhouse is trying all sorts of different things to make it into today's movie market. They're focusing on low budget, interesting marketing patterns, and then they do have in a few months coming out the Halloween reboot sequel make thing that they got coming out.
Heard a little bit about that.
It's gonna be interesting. Written and directed by David Gordon Green, who his most popular movies are Pineapple Express and Your Highness, and but then he made other movies that are like All the Real Girls and George Washington that are like small little, like brilliant little dramas.
So Danny McBride's gonna be in the new Halloween movie.
I don't know if he's gonna be in it. Maybe just like
in a role.
He co-wrote it,
yeah,
and probably helped produce it. Him and David Gordon Green go back to film school, North Carolina film school. The two of them met in film school. All of them wanted to be directors. He's in one of his early movies just because their actor dropped out and they needed someone. So that's like the first time Danny McBride's ever been on camera. And it's very much like just him being Danny McBride. It's pretty amazing. And then he went to Los Angeles with another one of their friends, this dude, Jody Hill.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get anything going. They were trying for a few years. And then they're like, you know what? Let's just pull our resources, go back to North Carolina, make a movie, and just see what happens. And then if nothing comes of it, then we're just going to like go about our lives and forget about this whole entertainment shit.
But at least we tried.
So they go back to North Carolina, they pull a bunch of money together, they wrote a script, and they put out The Foot Fist Way. And then The Foot Fist Way made the rounds in Los Angeles on DVD. People were just passing around, watch this movie. Will Ferrell and Adam McKay got their hands on it, and they're like, this movie is brilliant. We want to put it out in theaters. Gave it a small run. That's when I saw it at the Oviedo Mall, Drew, yeah, where it was playing for less than 2 weeks. And in a theater with like maybe 20 people, and mostly it's a comedy, yeah, but people are mostly sitting there silent because it's so weird.
I mean, it's the first time you've seen like Kenny Powers, basically.
Yeah, Fred Simmons, yeah. And Jody Hill's sense of humor is very dark.
Yeah, 100%.
Because
the movie
he did after that was Observe and Report.
Yeah, oh, with, God, so much fun.
Seth Rogen, which is even more fucked up.
Yeah.
And then it popped
and
off.
Pena. Yeah. Oh, man.
And then they got to work on Eastbound and Down. So Jody Hill and Danny McBride came up with that character. They wrote the show, and Jody Hill shared directing duties with David Gordon Green, who is doing the Halloween movie. So that's all. It all comes around. These people all know each other. What I'm saying is, help your friends because they may help you.
That's the way it works.
Yeah, that's the way it works. People say nepotism is a bad thing. Is it? I don't know. That's the way it is.
I mean, yeah, for the most part.
I mean, we did a whole podcast about radio, so.
Yeah, cool. Man. It was an amazing, amazing, legendary podcast run that will go down in the history of podcasting. Yeah. When they talk about it in podcast school over at UCF, they'll talk about us. Yeah, that's for sure.
Number five this week.
And the road that we laid for them. Go ahead, Drew.
Book Club makes it.
Book Club!
$6.8 million, total of 47.
Mmm.
I know nothing. Here's the about book club. This movie.
Yeah, this is the one where the old ladies read 50 Shades.
Yeah. Old ladies read 50 Shades of Grey and then have freaky sex.
That's a way better title.
Yeah.
It is a better title. It's more descriptive than book club. Yeah, they should call it Diane Keaton Seduces Andy Garcia, whatever you want to call it.
No, exactly.
I was listening to another podcast that I will not cite because I can't remember which one it was. And a much more popular podcast anyway, like they need the help. And someone was talking about how they were on set for this movie. They were working. They were one of the actors, I think. And Andy Garcia was drinking all day. Every day.
Well.
Andy Garcia allegedly sued Andy
whole time.
Garcia, please. Loves his rum. I'm not going to say drunk the whole time. Just loves his rum.
And just wants to keep a steady buzz.
Keeping his rum buzz going throughout the day. That Cubano, and it was like, hey, I gotta cut down on L shakes. So I used the rum. I used like an old rum. Anyway, book club. So when you see that movie and you see every scene with Andy Garcia, just imagine he has rum breath.
Hard to do.
Yeah, you can smell it, just the rum just underneath the Altoids.
Mm-hmm. Number four this week. Avengers Infinity War made an additional $10.3 million, total of $642 domestic, another $1.3 billion foreign, total of $1.964 billion, putting it at the number four all-time worldwide.
So $640 domestic, it made $10 million this weekend, that's going to put it at another $20 over the next month. It's not going to catch Black Panther. Black Panther's going to have made more money when it's all said and done.
Domestically.
Now,
domestic right now, Black Panther is sitting at $699.1.
Yeah, so they're going to keep that in theaters and in second run theaters, dollar theaters, until it hits $700 million. Because studios do that shit all the time. Like Pacific Rim stayed in theaters longer than it needed to.
I mean, it just
needs, so it could crack $200 million.
It just needs to be there for one more week.
Yeah.
One more week and it'll hit $700 million, guaranteed.
I mean, yeah, you think so, probably. How much did it make this weekend, Black Panther? Did it make $1 million this weekend?
This weekend, Black Panther made $247,000.
Yeah, so it's going to need another month. It's in dollar theaters right now. Yeah. That's why. So it's going to need like another month maybe to get to
$700. It's hard. It's competing with itself now because it's already streaming.
Available
to buy.
Precisely. Exactly. Because of the 90-day window's already come and gone. You're exactly right. So Avengers not going to be... I don't think it's going to get to 700. It might get to like 675 tops. Now, 2 billion worldwide, that seems like still for sure.
Yeah.
2.1, I don't know. I don't know if we can catch Titanic at 2.2.
Yeah, we'll see.
Which is crazy. That's crazy. Those Titanic numbers.
That includes like a re-release though, right?
A 3D re-release, yes. But that didn't add that much to it. Maybe enough to keep it at number two just in front of Avengers, that's true. Another thing that may be keeping Avatar way ahead of everything else, because when it came out in 2008-2009, the dollar was weak against foreign currency, so its international total seems higher. I think it has something to do with the market crash and the value of the dollar against other, but that's why it's at 2.8 billion worldwide, and so much of that came from international.
Yeah, over 2.02 billion came from foreign.
Something about that has to do with the currency exchange rate of the day, because it was right during the gigantic worldwide recession of 2007-2008, so... Anyway, gotta justify the money talk somehow with a little bit of knowledge. What else you got, Drew?
Number three this week, Adrift.
Adrift.
Made $11.5 million. Same as total.
Budget?
35.
Ooh. 11. It's gonna make about $30 million at the box office. It'll break even. What's the consensus, Rotten Tomatoes? Have you seen any of this marketing for Adrift?
The one where the couple is on the sailboat?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Based on a true story, apparently.
It's 71%.
It's like my worst nightmare come true. So.
Yeah, pretty much.
For me, I hate oceans.
Yeah. just stay out of the ocean.
Sea life.
It's not that bad for you.
It's so terrifying.
I mean, it's not that I hate oceans.
I hate them. They scare me.
I have been on prolonged sailing trips in my day, but I've never like crossed an ocean or anything. Like I was just, you know, day tripping through the Bahamas, just an island one day, next island the next day. Eventually, you know, I wasn't out on the water for more than like 24 hours straight. Mm. So
anytime land is out of sight, I'm out.
Yeah, me too, man. I'm like, oh, that freaks me out. Yeah. The idea of like giant whales just swimming underneath me. Mm-hmm.
And sharks.
It's a heart attack.
Things that will eat you.
The thing, yeah, the sharks are more threatening. A blue whale. Mm-hmm. Like if a blue whale just swam past me, I just have a heart attack and sink to the bottom and die.
So huge. And whale song is fucking creepy as hell. I don't know why people think that's beautiful.
They're communicating.
Yes, they are.
What are they talking about? This is so scary. They're talking hundreds of miles away from each other. They're communicating. They're going to converge on me and squish me in the middle.
They are. That's exactly what they're trying to do, Chris.
Yeah.
They just want Chris Crespo dead.
So frightening. That's all they want. It's in the whale manifesto. Mm-hmm. I've read it. It was accidentally forwarded to me in an email. It was supposed to be the gay agenda, but it was the whale agenda. I got on the wrong newsletter. Adrift is... What was the consensus? Did you say that we just...
71%.
74, that's not bad.
6.2 average rating.
Yeah, okay. It's kind of middling. It doesn't seem like that great of a movie when we saw the marketing.
Yeah.
It seems okay. Mm-hmm. We already, like you said, we already saw this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Starring Robert Redford.
And himself.
Yeah, call...
All Is Lost.
All Is Lost.
I remember the trailers for that, too. Yeah.
That was
it's
a good
really
one.
Good.
Yeah, it was just him by himself.
Robert Redford says three words in the entire movie, and they're all fuck.
Yeah, all of them are fuck. and I suppose that this one where it's like, oh, these idiots rode their boat into a Category 5 hurricane dummies.
Yeah.
Robert
Redford was asleep and
with
hit...
modern technology.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Robert Redford was asleep and his boat hit a rogue shipping container.
A shipping container that dropped off a ship, which apparently is a problem.
Oh, yeah. It happens. Huh. Yeah.
It happens all the time. There are a lot of shipping containers just floating,
floating out there.
And it hit his yacht and it busted a huge hole in it and then he couldn't fix it over time. The thing sinks. He had to make his own raft. He's trying to survive. It's a really, really well made movie. It's really good. About 90 minutes, right, Drew? It's like an hour and a half?
Yeah.
The screenplay is like 20-something pages, which is, for people who write screenplays, they know that it's supposed to come out to 1 page equals 1 minute of screen time. So if you write a 90-page screenplay, it's a 90-minute movie. So, but the writer-director, who's the same guy who did that Margin Call movie and A Most Violent Year with Oscar Isaac, Jessica Chastain, he wrote the script, and he only wrote it to be 20-something pages because he knew how he was going to make the movie. And he had to convince people, like, trust me, this is the way the movie's going to work. It's not going to be a 20-minute movie. It's just...
You're filling it out with just space and...
Yeah, it's with him, like... I just wrote down a line that says Robert Redford ties 3 knots. Now that's going to take like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Robert Redford, but it only took one line of dialogue, one line of the screenplay. So anyway, all is lost, right?
Mm-hmm. Let's see any of these pansies do it though with a live tiger on the boat with them.
Oh man, like that. What's that one? Life of Pi.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That one's good.
That tiger was fake.
Yeah, that was a fake tiger the whole time. But man, I actually really liked that movie.
It was weird.
I think of all the Stuck at Sea movies that came out in the last couple years, that may be my favorite one because of the weirdness of the added element of the animals.
This person's either crazy, experienced something supernatural,
or just
lying his ass off.
Or just lying, making it all up, because what sounds better, the truth or the legend? Yeah. You know? Always print the legend, right, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
The legend of Chris Crespo doth sayeth so. What? What's number one?
You forgot about number two.
What was number two?
Number two, Deadpool 2. Made $23.3 million, total of $254.
$254?
Domestic. Interesting. Another $344.4 in worldwide, all but $598 million.
$254. All right, so it could probably get to $300 million, maybe $315. Not gonna beat Passion of the Christ, which Deadpool 2... He even makes fun of the fact, mm-hmm. he points out that Deadpool couldn't beat Passion of the Christ, the box office total. Deadpool 2 ain't gonna do it either, Ryan Reynolds. Sorry, buddy. That's the power of the Lord, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that Passion 2, man. That's gonna be huge.
I know, right?
Actually, it's not gonna be. The best part's already done. The murder and the resurrection. This is just him walking around and be like, don't you believe I'm alive, Thomas? Tom's like,
dude,
I got that.
Look at this hole in my hand.
Look at the hole in my hand, Thomas. Tom's like,
dude, I can see through it. Look.
And Tom's like, okay, you got me. I believe you. And then it just disappears. How did you do that?
Puff of smoke.
What the? Seriously, what's it going to be about? Passionate of the Sun.
I have no idea.
Road to Damascus, a little bit of Saul.
Nobody cares.
Saul turns into Paul, that kind of stuff.
Number one this week, Chris.
That's Romans, man. That's not even the Jesus story anymore.
Solo, a Star Wars story. Made $29.29 million. Total $148.
So it made about $80 last weekend on a three-day. $30 this weekend? So that is more than a 50. That's 65. A 60%. There we go. Oh, boy. Did you see this one?
I did.
What'd you think? Spoiler free, what'd you think?
It was entertaining, but it had all the same problems you get from just about every prequel ever made.
Yes.
They felt like they had to just go down the line and show you everything that they've ever said about him in the original trilogy. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And, oh, this all happened in a weekend, you know?
Yes, in one weekend.
Yeah, it's so true.
You are right. It all happened, it seemed, in like 3 days.
You got his name, you got the... this happened in the same story. Yeah, like,
come on, guys.
What a hunk of shit.
I want to see an adventure that I don't already know anything about. Like, that would have been the way to go.
Yeah, right? I never wanted to see the Kessel Run. Now, it was actually... I thought a miracle that I enjoyed the Kessel Run.
I was about
run.
To say, it was one of the cooler parts of the movie, actually.
They actually turned into something, but you know why I think that happened? I read an interview with Jake Kasdan, son of Lawrence Kasdan, who co-wrote the screenplay, and the Kessel Run was something he lobbied against. He's like, why do we have to show this? I don't want to show this. I don't want to write this. It's not interesting. Lawrence Kasdan, his dad, was like, we are doing the Kessel Run. So he had to find a way to make it interesting.
Yeah.
Coming from a place where... I think it's a bad idea. So I think that's why he gave it the extra effort to like
make it a good idea.
Yeah.
It felt like the whole thing was like a desperate attempt to correct the fact that they always used the measure of distance.
The parsecs thing, yes, exactly.
So they like made like figured out a way to make that work.
Just leave it alone. Look, George Lucas isn't that smart of a guy.
I mean, he made Star Wars for 12-year-olds.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the fact that it begins a galaxy a long time ago, far away, ... ellipses are three dots. There's no four-dot ellipses.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a four-dot ellipses, that means you're ending your sentence. They still keep the four dots to this day. Yeah. They keep the four dots.
Yeah.
It's just a really long pause, that's all. An
extremely long pause. Yeah. The longest pause.
Awkwardly long.
The pause is so long, they added an extra dot. George Lucas didn't exactly know what he was doing back then. As a matter of fact, there's like legends about how they found the movie Star Wars, the original Star Wars, they found it in the edit. You know, that the screenplay was terrible. They had to do a lot of rewriting. When they shot the movie, they had to do a lot of, like, figuring out in the editing bay how the movie was going to work and not be terrible. A lot of credit for those movies, especially Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back, is supposed to go to another producer who left on Jedi because...
he couldn't take it anymore?
Well, because he didn't like the direction Lucas was taking Jedi, purposely wanted to make an upbeat movie with Ewoks where everyone lived, and Han Solo was supposed to die at the end of Jedi, or in Jedi, and he lobbied for that. Lucas was like, no, the toy is too popular. You have to keep him alive. The dude was like,
beginning of the commercialism.
It was the beginning because he saw the money in the marketing, and the other dude was like, this is not why I signed on to make these movies, to make toys. So they had a falling out, and there you go. That's the rest is all set up, and that's why a lot of people say Empire is the best one.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of that, though, you watch that show, The Toys That Made Us, and those toy guys are sitting on a pile of money because of him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure they're like,
gigantic pile
of
money.
Make it as dumb and fun as possible. We want to make toys.
An amazing, huge pile of money shaped like Castle Grayskull is what they're saying.
Yeah.
I had such a cool Castle Grayskull. You would open it up and like trap doors and stuff. It was very cool. Jurassic Cogburn. So Solo, would you recommend people see it? Or
I think it's worth watching, yeah.
It's just worth watching, but it didn't blow
it's
you away,
cool
though.
Cool action
and
adventure, but yeah, it's problematic.
It sounds exactly like the review that Drew and I gave last week, like where it was good, but I don't feel like I'm ever going to need to re-see it.
I'm not sure if I ever said it was good.
You don't even think it was good? I mean with like high pitch voice.
There are good parts.
Yeah, that's a good way to put
but
it.
But as a whole...
Yeah, I don't know about that, Chris. There you go. Drew Sigourney hedging his bets. New movie is coming out on DVD this week. Death Wish comes out. John McClane killing drug dealers. Check that out on DVD. Gringo comes out. That's the Charlize Theron, David Oyelowo weed sort of comedy thing.
Weed pill comedy.
Weed pill. pills. Hurricane Heist. I actually now I want to see this one.
I know, right?
This is the exact format I want to see it in. At home, high as hell. if people can't remember this trailer, I definitely recommend.
The trailer was just
watch the trailer. It's so entertaining. It's a movie. I think they found a screenplay at the bottom of a desk drawer that was from a studio closed in 1995.
And they were like, you know what? Let's make this shit.
Let's make this movie. Are we going to update any references?
No!
He's going to reference President Clinton.
I wonder if the script was just like a heist movie, and then at the end it just said, oh, and by the way, this is during a hurricane.
Yes.
And you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's like mind-blowing. What? The script had a Shyamalan-like twist at the
end.
It changed everything that I just read, because now everything's wet.
But Chris, it's a million-dollar heist at, what, 75 miles an hour?
Or is that like 200? $500 million at 700 miles an hour. And then it was like this coming at the screen. It's supposed to be 3D, but yeah. We were watching it in 2D, so it just looks so stupid.
It was just semis in the rain.
So stupid. Semis in the rain. It looks so dumb. I can't wait to watch it. A Wrinkle in Time comes out on DVD. This was a movie that I went and saw it in theaters a couple weeks after it came out.
I'm sorry, Chris.
So I had lower expectations. No, you know, I thought it was fine. If I remember the way I reviewed it, I thought the movie was okay. It had some really interesting stuff in there. Overall, there's something that's lacking from it, and I think it was actually, ironically, I think it's the de-Christianifying of the movie. The fact that they took away a lot of the religious stuff and replaced it with some just new age, hokum, believe in yourself type stuff, instead of like the light of the world versus the darkness of the world, that type of thing. I think that really hurt it.
Yeah, there's something simple about that kind of storytelling.
Very simple, and then... I mean, the original book from the 60s had, like, Bible verses in there, and Jesus gets name-checked along with, like, Buddha and a whole bunch of other, like, holy figures and people out to, you know, the Mother Teresa type figures. And they cut all that out, and I feel like it's missing something. But there's a lot of spectacle. It looks really cool. Production design is great. It's good acting. Chris Pine's really good in it. In the little bit that he's in it, he's very effective. And I remember when I saw the movie... It's a very sad film, surprisingly so. And then at the end of the movie, when characters like reuniting and they're hugging and it's all very emotional, there were people that were sitting next to you that were like openly sobbing, crying. Wow. Ooh, very
so effective.
Very effective. It's a very effective movie, just maybe not the feel-good movie that everyone wanted to see at the time. So, but very interesting. Also, when it came out, Black Panther was still in theaters. So, like, the number one movie was Black Panther. The number two movie was A Wrinkle in Time. And it was the only time in history ever that the top two movies at the box office monetarily were directed by black people. Ryan Coogler and Ava DuVernay, respectively, directing each movie. And it makes you think, oh, 2018, first time that happened? That's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
Should have happened a long time ago.
But nope, awesome 21st
that,
century.
Yeah.
Awesome that it happened, though.
Yeah, it's amazing. And with, like, huge numbers, too. It wasn't even like, oh, it was a slow weekend, and the Gabrielle Union movie slipped in there. Like, no, these were giant blockbuster films.
Yeah, huge Disney movies.
Huge Disney movies. One of them making a ton of money. We were just talking about it before. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Wrinkle Time comes out on DVD. People can check that out. Also, Thoroughbreds, Drew, comes out on DVD this week.
Nice.
So that's a really cool little movie. One. It's Olivia Cooke and Anna Lily Taylor, two young actresses, playing old friends, reconnecting, and commiserating over murdering the father of one of the girls. Maybe doing it. Maybe should we do it? I don't know. They're thinking about it. Good movie.
It's so much fun.
It's a fun, well-made movie. Thoroughbreds, good stuff.
Super dark, super funny.
Anton Yelchin's final movie performance.
Okay.
Final.
Because he had two of those.
He had more. This was like his third final performance.
It's like
Chris.
The third movie that came out with him after he died. Yeah. But this is it. No more Anton Yelchin.
You sure about that?
And he's good enough.
You sure he's not going to show up in like Ocean's 8 or something?
Hologram
and just
Yelchin.
Be like, hey, I'm Anton Yelchin.
Hologram, maybe. You never know. What's coming out in theaters?
Ocean's 8.
On June 8th, Ocean's 8.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I mean, it looks like it'll be fun.
I'm interested. I think the marketing looks cool. And I love the cast.
Yeah, Sandra, great cast. That goes a long way.
Huge cast. Great cast. Personally speaking, Sandra Bullock and Cate Blanchett, I love them both. Got a thing for them both. So, yeah. And the fact that they're doing the George Clooney,
Brad Pitt
two for there.
Oh, man. Straight up there, just playing those characters.
I am in. It's going to be good. And then it's going to be fun watching the movie to see who pops up. I'm betting on Matt Damon for sure.
I know exactly.
Because he's the king of the cameo these days.
Yeah, exactly. Who is going to pop up?
Yeah.
I'm sure, Scott Conn just got his show canceled, right? He needs some money.
Hawaii Five-0 is done.
Is it?
I think, is it?
I thought that's what you said a couple weeks ago.
I can't remember
now. I'm surprised it lasted as long as it did.
That's the thing, yes. It's amazing. Yeah, I can see Scott Conn and popping up Casey Affleck.
I don't think Casey Affleck will not be showing up in an all-women's Oceans movie, especially after the bullshit that he supposedly pulled.
Yeah, that'll get him in some trouble. Yeah. I'll get some people in some trouble. I'm banking on Damon and...
Is the old man still alive? What's his face?
The guy who played the dad? No,
the old.
Carl Reiner? Yes.
Okay.
And so is Elliot Gould.
They could both show up.
Andy Griffith's Teddy. We're going after Teddy. What's his name?
After Al Pacino.
I am also banking Damon early on, maybe halfway through the movie. I think towards the end, Daniel Ocean himself will make an appearance.
He has to.
You think he has to? I don't think he has to.
I almost think he has to.
I don't think he has to, but I would like him to.
That'd be cool.
It would be cool. Just like, and you're like, hey, sis. Sandra Bullock turns around. Just George Clooney. They have a little family reunion.
And that's it.
And then he's like, I gotta go. Be amazing somewhere. Because I'm George Clooney. seriously, though, he's amazing, right?
He's amazing. I think he came from...
He's amazing. He came from shit TV.
I was about to say, garbage television.
garbage weekly television for years. And soap operas and ER and just crap to... Man,
George Clooney.
He's got the head tilt and the low voice, and that's all you need. That's probably all you need. And slight frame. He's a small man. If you ever see him in person,
also coming out this weekend.
Yeah, you could push him over, but then Amal Clooney will sue the pants off you so quick you won't even know. You'll be wrapped up in humanitarian rights litigation for years. That's how good she is.
Also coming out this weekend.
You're like, I'm just a dude. She's like, I got you,
Chris. Won't you be my neighbor?
Yeah, sure. We are neighbors. Well,
go watch the Won't You Be My Neighbor.
The Mr. Rogers documentary, which I gotta say, that documentary's got a good trailer.
No, it really does.
I haven't seen it.
If you pull up the trailer and watch it,
it makes you want to see the movie.
It may bring a tear to your eye, just the trailer itself. Like, oh my God, Mr. Rogers.
And last but certainly not least,
the salve to all our wounds, maybe. What else?
Hereditary.
Yes, Hereditary. Finally. Hereditary does come out. The horror film, the A24 horror film. Saw the trailer once months ago, and it just like blew my mind.
Bonkers!
Because it's such an insane looking trailer involving like little models and dioramas and incest
and maybe
fire.
Yeah, people on fire, perhaps like transferring of souls and witchcraft.
Yes,
and all sorts of just wacky shit.
It looks.
I gotta watch this trailer.
It looks upsetting.
Yeah, Chris, it looks like people might be like. Actually, like, emotionally affected by this movie.
It looks upsetting, is what I'm saying. And the trailer has played like in front of four or five movies that I've seen. The first time I watched the whole trailer, I was like, holy shit, this looks wild. Every time since that the trailer come up, I pulled out my phone and I just like started scrolling through Facebook. Like, I don't want to see anymore. I just want to see this movie now. And I feel like if I see the trailer, I'm going to start putting things together and things are going to make sense. And I don't want any more expectations.
That is not the case, Chris. I keep seeing the new trailer for this movie and nothing makes any sense. It's
never going to make sense.
I want as many images to be as fresh as possible going into this bizarre
looking
film.
You're going
to have
one of those things on your wall with all the strings.
Yeah, like how does this tie to here? What does this mean? I'm excited for it.
It looks like I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Now, here's the thing, Drew. I think it's going to be a wide release because it's getting a lot of marketing.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, Drew Sikogra, not only is this weekend going to have Ocean's 8 and Hereditary, I bet you First Reform comes out here in Orlando next weekend. I bet you
it does. God damn it, so we're going to have to see three movies?
It's not going to be possible. Literally not going to be possible. We're going to have to pick and choose movies, which sucks.
It does suck
because we didn't see nothing this weekend. No, we didn't. Because nothing looked that good. But next weekend, everything's going to come out.
We could have seen The Rider. It was playing at Winter Park.
Yeah, The Rider was playing. That had some pretty good reviews. Have you heard of that one?
No.
The Rider is about, it's a perfect movie for middle America. It's about a guy, a very young dude who was a rodeo rider bucking horses or bulls.
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 No, yeah, I think bulls.
He does bulls. Bull riding. And he...
Oh, like, no, it's horses.
It's horses, yeah, horses. Bucking broncos.
Yeah.
He has an injury, a neck injury, that he had to have surgery or whatever. And the doctor's like, you have to stop riding because if you hit one more just bump, you're going to be paralyzed. You're going to be like, it's done for you. But he wants to ride. That's his love. That's what he wants to do. He's very young too. So it's like, he's going to give up at such a young age. But then he also has someone, like a brother or something, or a friend. They show in the trailer that he's caring for.
That that has obviously happened to. This, like, the same thing.
Yeah, like, he was a great rider, and then he got injured, and now he's, like, practically almost invalid. A vegetable. He's an invalid. He's doing really bad, so he's helping him, and it looks like a very, like, effective movie. It's got really good reviews, the rider.
Yeah.
So. And there's also another movie that played just a few weeks ago at the Enzian called Lean on Pete. You know about that one?
I keep saw another one of these Middle America movies.
A Middle America movie about a boy and a horse. It's another movie about horses and stuff. But apparently that was Lean on Pete's A24.
Oh, of course it is.
And that one also had great reviews. And it was here at the Enzian during a time when I really didn't have time to go see a movie during the week, you know? Mm-hmm. Trivia and stuff like that. Life is busy.
It's a good time for horse films.
Apparently, yeah. Well, especially now. Isn't today the end of the Triple Crown? Right?
I don't even know.
I think today is the Belmont Stakes. I think they already did the Preakness and the Kentucky Derby.
Do you have a silly hat to wear?
No,
where's your silly horsey hat?
I haven't worn hats in forever. I'm in bandana mode these days. Mm. Yeah, today I'm doing black bandana. Mm. I'm doing white on black today. Also, maybe limited releases for people, in case they're interested. A movie that I saw at the Florida Film Festival, Hearts Beat Loud, with Nick Offerman, where he's a kind of a musician and his daughter's getting ready to go to college, and he gets her to create some music, and they put it up on Spotify and stuff like that. It's actually a really good little movie. So that may be playing in a theater near you. And then also this Hotel Artemis movie, I think, might supposed to be coming out this weekend.
Oh, that looks interesting.
Yeah, so I don't know if
Jodie Foster's a hospital for criminals.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I saw the trailer for that. Yeah. I think in front of Deadpool, maybe.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, I think so, too.
Oh.
Bautista? He moves slow?
You can't even see him.
You mean like in real life as he's... Oh! He's making an Avengers joke, Drew, about Drax.
And I blew it.
And then as he was... You know, I blew it because I was like... I took it literally. I was like, Dave Bautista, he's a big guy. I guess he is kind of slow.
Maybe?
He's mentally slow.
I'm the one who blew it. No, don't say that. Dave Bautista's going to bust through this wall right here.
Actually, that'd be pretty cool.
That actually would be
cool. I just
if he pulled a Kool-Aid man and just...
Oh, yeah.
Dave Bautista, oh, no. And they punches you and then you're dead.
Just let it happen. Just lay down and let it go.
Just let it, yeah, like a bear attack.
Yeah. You'll get bored.
Just hit the ground. And let it happen. All right, there you go. New East Clown Theater. Drusa Cogburn, are you ready? No? Well, too bad.
Doctor, give me... You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right. Before we talk to Drusa Cogburn, Drew. It's wrong button. There we go. Drew. It's time for a segment that interrupts other segments. Chris reads sexy poems to Drusa Cogburn. So we're interrupting your segment to read your poem. You ready, Drew?
Eye contact, Chris.
First I have to say, this is from...
We can't break eye contact.
This is from Ron. Again, Ron is writing to us. He's becoming our Crest Poet Laureate. Crest Poet Laureate. All right, Drew, you ready? Cock. It's a magical piece of meat. The more you lick, the faster you get your treat. From the base to the very tip. From cut to uncut dick, I love to shove yours past my lip, Drew. I know your penis is huge, about the size of a Crown Vic. So are your balls, according to your bulge. Slap my face with your meat as I plead, glad to be the one you have picked. Spit lube for my ass, so you may breathe. Thank you very much.
God, that was beautiful.
That was amazing, wasn't it? All for Drew. Drew, you inspire Ron so much.
Apparently. I guess I'm a bit of his muse.
You're his muse. You're a sexy muse. That was one of our newest segments. Nick, Chris Reed, sexy poems.
I enjoyed
poems
that a lot.
Drew, there you go. I'm glad you did. All right, Joseph Cogburn, Dr. Drew, take it away. After that interruption. Back to your segment.
Well, Chris... We went to an art gallery opening this weekend.
We did!
It's been a while, and, you know, support the arts. Cogburn out.
Yeah, Cogburn out! Support the arts! go to Arts. I'm writing that down for my show notes for later. Well done, Drew Sikagra.
I also like how it takes you longer to write down what I have to say than for me to say
it. It does. Well, because I have to listen to it too and then write it down in a way. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break here. Crespo Disco time. I'm going to play some music. We're going to recharge our batteries. I need a new drink here. And then we'll be back with the second half of the show. We have movie news. We have Billy D's Death of the Movies. A couple of Vox Populi emails. And then, of course, Drusa Cogburn versus the world. Are you ready for that, Nick?
Yeah.
A little bit of one-on-one trivia. It's going to be some good stuff. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Alrighty, we are back. Episode 282 continues with Drew,
Chris,
Nick.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know what was going on.
Ah, gotcha. We are back, guys. We took our break. I got my drink is filled. Drew got his Nick fix. It smells like a cigarette in here now.
No, that's me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're gross.
Mm-hmm.
You're disgusting.
I am.
You need to stop that shit.
I mean, one day. Probably when I get lung cancer.
Just get yourself a douche vape flute. Steve will mix you whatever vape flavor you want. Do you want pepperoni pizza vape flavor? He can make it so that you can taste the oregano.
I'd rather suck on a cancer stick than an electronic penis.
That logic adds up.
That sentence is going to be very easy to cut down to make you sound like you're saying something else. Much to Ron's delight. Drew Sakai, where can people find you online?
At AntiHero419, some places on the internet.
Do it, people. Nick, where can people find you online? Where would you like them to find you?
So yeah, I'm on Twitter, at HardAtWorkNick. Mm-hmm. I'm on Facebook, HardAtWorkShow is our show page. So mm-hmm. I'm looking at that a lot.
There you go, Hard at Work. And Hard at Work, the show, is it available on the Apple Podcast, SoundCloud? Yep. Where can people find it?
All those places.
All the places?
Yeah, we're even on Spotify now.
There you go, very good. Once a week?
Yep, once a week. We post on Tuesday. Record on Monday, post on Tuesday.
Very cool, all right. I like that turnaround, nice, quick, tight turnaround.
Yeah.
And then what is it? It's a pop culture show, right?
Essentially. Yeah, we talk about mostly nerdy stuff, video games, mm-hmm. TV shows, movies.
There you go.
Yeah, we just bullshit.
You have any theories on this Fallout 76? Are you following that at all, or not your thing?
From what I've heard, it's not going to be a full like Fallout game like mm-hmm. Fallout 4. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be some sort of online thing, but exactly what the gameplay is going to be like, nobody knows yet.
Wow, Drew, an online thing.
We got to wait a couple weeks. At E3, I'm sure Bethesda will tell us everything.
Yeah, they did announce for sure the big debut of everything's at E3.
Yeah, so a couple weeks, we'll know it all, and I'll know if I have to spend my money on it.
But now is the time for speculations, Drew Sakagra.
Yeah, that's the fun part.
That is the fun part, yeah. What could it be? Maybe it involves werewolves? Will there be a werewolf in this one?
I hope so.
I mean, that'd be cool.
I'm putting my money on no werewolves. Hard at Work, people, check it out.
Yeah.
All over the internets. Follow Nick. Tell him hi.
I would appreciate that.
You were good. He would like it. hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. The show is Crespediso. Cinema Crespediso on Instagram. And, of course, join our Facebook group. Anything else? The Cinema Crespiso at gmail.com. Stickers. We're almost out of stickers. So if you want some of our last ones, email us also. We got a new run of PFT Medium magnets. The first batch of magnets that we got, Nick, the glue was coming off on all of them. They're all peeling. This goddamn. Yes, lame. Exactly. This goddamn company. So I sent them pictures. I complained to them. And without really replying, they just sent me a box of 250 more magnets. So hopefully these have the right glue on them. Hopefully they double glued these.
Yeah, they just sent you more bad ones.
I know, exactly. Imagine if they did. I'm going to find out about a month and a half if the magnet in my car then starts peeling again. So if you want some hopefully better magnets, email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, and I'll send them to you for free. Oh yeah, check out Boris's art gallery, ya local yokels. Boris is our guest last week. We went to his gallery, the art gallery at Mills Park over there on Mills 50, 1792. And we saw the art of Robert Ross. Not Bob Ross.
Nope, Robert Ross.
Robert Ross. And Marlene Wood. And it was really good. It was really good. Really enjoyed it. People should come and check it out. It was, that's something else. And yeah, go check it out. It was really cool. There's some people in the corner playing guitars very softly. You barely hear them. It was like
classy.
It was very classy. I had some cheap red wine. Went straight to my head. I started sweating under my eyeballs. It was strange.
You got some under eye sweats. It was weird.
I got under eye sweats. It's like my eyeballs were boobs. And the sweat was accumulating under them. And I was like, this is not a good look. With all these 6-year-old ladies walking around. We were definitely the youngest people there, right? Aside from like, people that were working.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Aside from like the camera guy, the photographer, and the guitarist, we were the youngest people there.
We were kind of working too.
Networking.
Hi-yo.
Yeah. Drusa Cogburn, are you ready, sir?
Four.
Exactly. I'm not sure. Let's go ahead and jump to... we never have a certain order with these. I guess we'll do some movie news.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
That's right, time for the most important segment in all of podcasting, the Cinema Crespediso Movie News segment. This is where we talk about celebrity beach bods, those hot divorces. But first, we need a Justin Bieber update. Nick, what's going on with the Biebs?
Oh, he's just Biebing it up. All right. Killing it.
There you go. Justin Bieber is just Biebing it
that's,
up.
That's the term he uses, right?
Yeah. Biebe it up. Hashtag Biebe it up.
Hashtag Biebe it up.
Drew, when's the last time you Biebed it up?
Oh, man. I don't think I've ever beeped it up.
Drew, you got to start beeping it up, bro.
I'm not sure if I do.
You got to get on that.
Get on it. Be a beep, bro.
No, like I said, I'm not sure if I have to.
Be a beep, bro.
Can I not?
I mean, please? Yeah, you can not.
Can I please not?
I guess so.
I mean, I don't... I have this... I'm a non-believer.
Oh.
Hmm.
That does make a lot of people uncomfortable when you beep it up.
I thought we were believers this whole time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were beeping it up together. You're saying no, we're not beeping it?
Mm-mm.
We're beebless.
Mm.
We're not beebified.
Mm-mm.
It's the end of the beeps.
Mm.
As we know it, it's the end of the beeps as we know it.
I feel fine.
What the hell was that? Oh, shit. Oh, it's my notebook.
Chris is breaking stuff.
Oh, no. All right. I picked it up. Here we go. I got to put it back. Oh, no. What's up, his favorite? That doesn't matter. Okay, here we go. Movie news. I only have two stories here. Drusa Cogburn. First off, did you know that James Cameron is not pleased with the way 3D is going in Hollywood right now?
I mean...
He started it.
Yeah. I was about to say. I mean, he's the unequivocal probably king of 3D. I mean, he's probably done the best 3D work.
Exactly. So
out
then,
there.
So then if anyone's going to complain about it, I think it would be him.
Sure.
I guess so.
No.
Right?
Not living up to his standard.
Exactly. So this is what he's saying. What
did he say, Chris? What is it?
Of course, I put my
what
phone...
What is the thing?
I pulled my phone to look at the quote, and I...
And now you have ads and emails. You have specific folders for each kind. Are they, like...
My dick pics are all organized by folder size and shade. I got this story from Cinema Blend. James Cameron said, I think that Hollywood has done 3D a disservice by embracing post-conversion.
Ah.
Which to me is the wrong track. We should do native photography because we're forever going to incorporate 3D into broad content production, which most of which is live or near real time or short turnaround TV production. We have to use the native production tools. This is the most interesting part. Native production technology has basically stalled as of about 3 or 4 years ago. We need to re-embrace native production. So he's pushing for shooting in 3D and not doing post-conversions, which has been the facto way to go for a number of years now.
It's not the first time we've heard that complaint.
But the thing is, post-conversion has gotten good enough to where it provides a reasonable 3D product. Not bad by any means, but I mean, we saw Doctor Strange in 3D, right?
That wasn't
didn't we?
Awful.
It was fine. The scenes would look good. Nothing looks like Avatar.
Yeah.
For a reason.
No.
That's why he can say that and people are going to listen.
Exactly. And people are like, oh man, maybe we should be doing this native 3D. What's going to end up happening is Avatar 2 is going to come out. And it's going to re-blow people's minds because, like he said, apparently the technology stalled out over a couple years. And people are getting so used to post-conversion.
Yeah.
He's the one bringing it forward.
Yeah, well, he was the one who started it.
So he's the one that's going to bring us next level 3D where we're going to feel like, I guess we're going to feel like we're underwater.
Cool.
Because that's a lot of this movie is going to take place underwater.
Yeah.
So we'll be watching
We'll
be watching a movie that's either boring, if not terrible, because it's Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
But then we're going to be like, whoa, this is so amazing. Pretty. Oh my God, this is incredible. So we'll see how that goes.
Why did they choose this guy to be the lead actor in Avatar?
I know, right?
It's going to make Sam Aquaman Worthington look like foolish.
It is, yes. Yeah. Oh my God, it is.
Yeah.
Because that's coming out before underwater stuff, but they're doing the old, we have people in a warehouse, and we're going to have them on wires and have them pretend to swim and then just put in the water later. James Cameron is having his actors learn how to act underwater in like 2 to 4 minute bursts. And then reinventing camera technology so that he can actually capture underwater photography for motion capture. It's crazy.
Crazy. He's insane.
He is insane.
It's so amazingly insane.
Like, thank God for him. Now he'll say some shit. He'll say some dumb shit every now and then. Like when he poo-pooed Wonder Woman and all this stuff. And I'll be like, ah, James, you're an old... Now you're just being an old white man. But anyway.
Well, he is an old white man.
Yeah. Speaking of Aquaman, Jason Momoa.
Who was... Aquaman?
He was when he mentioned Aquaman. How Avatar 2 is going to make Aquaman look like shit. Mm. Oh, shit. Speaking of shit. Triple Sean, Juice of Cogburn. Juice of Cogburn, where's the one? Juice of Cogburn, where's the one? I was going to say real quick, wrapping up the movie news before we do Juice of Cogburn, where's the world. Jason Momoa has officially left The Crow. He was the latest star of the attempted remake of The Crow. He left. The director left.
Everybody left.
It's back in limbo. This thing is never going to get made.
I'm okay with that.
Just trash it.
Yeah.
I'm totally okay with
that. Me too. We're all okay with it. Guys, people, anyone listening, stop trying to make The Crow. Please. No one wants it. You know they made like 4 sequels?
Yeah, they did. One of them had Eddie Furlong.
Yes!
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's the exact reaction. That's the exact reaction I have. All right, guys, we're doing Juicy Cogman versus the World. Drew, you lost last week against Boris, who I picked a game that involved movie years.
Mm-hmm. And apparently he's a savant.
He's a savant when it comes to movie years. He can tell you the exact years for like, so almost weird. Any movie. So I apologize, Drew. I set you up to fail on that one.
Thanks, Chris.
Hey, you know what? You still got a winning record. You're sitting at 13-8 this year after playing, what's the math on that? 20-something people? And you'll be going up against Nick. Nick, you're representing the world. And you will be going first in this week's game, which is called Based on a True Story. I'm going to tell you the movie title. You tell me whether or not it is based on a true story. So,
okay.
Is it loosely whatever? Is it based on a true story? Or is it something completely made up? I have 2 groups of 5, A and B. You get to go first, Nick. Since you lost last week, do you want Group A or Group B?
I'll just go with A.
All right.
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple. Is this movie based on a true story? Number 1, Secretariat.
Secretariat. That is based on a true story.
That's correct.
About a horse.
Yes, horse racing. Number 2, Paul Blart, Mall Cop.
Oh, this is for me also.
You're doing all 5.
All 5 in a row.
That is not. No. Paul Blart is not a real name.
Very good. Number 3, Goodfellas.
Yes, that is.
Correct.
Basically. I forget the guy's name.
Henry Hill was the guy's name. I think it was... No, the guy's real name was Nicholas Pileggi. It was a real guy's name. Number 4, based on a true story or not, Major League.
Major League. That is. That's based on a true story.
That is not. No, that's a comedy. Not based... Now, the team is real. Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, but... I thought... Well, this time in history that was really happening.
No,
right?
No. That whole thing about an owner trying to sabotage the team. No, completely made up.
I feel like a real fool.
And finally, number 5. Real or false? New Jack City.
Yes, that was based on a true story.
That was not based on a true story. No, completely made up.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's a classic. It's a 90s crime classic.
I was about to say,
Chris Rock.
Chris Rock smoking that rock.
Chris Rock smoking rock. He's pooky. Oh, he's so sad. The saddest Chris Rock you've ever seen.
He doesn't want to smoke the crack, but he has to, Chris.
He has to because it's so delicious. Drew, here's your group of 5. You ready?
Okay.
Real or fake? Number 1, Jerry Maguire. That's correct. Number 2, Casino.
Real.
That is correct. Number 3, My Left Foot.
Real.
That's correct. Danny Lee-Lewis playing a real life paraplegic artist. Quadriplegic. Number 4, Get Rich or Die Trying.
Oh, god damn it.
Real.
That is real. Loosely based on the life of 50 Cent. That's Curtis Jackson.
But it's so loosely based, I wasn't sure if it could technically be considered real or not.
I mean, they say that's how they advertise. That's how they sell it. Number five, Hustle and Flow.
Fake.
That's correct. Joseph Cogburn running the board, going 5 for 5. Well done. You are the winner, putting you at 14-8. Congratulations, Drewster.
Nice showing, sir.
So I just let the whole world down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know what? You're not alone. You are the 14th person to fall to Drew's hand this year. So the world just not doing too well in the face of the Almighty. That is.
That is what?
Drew's a coward. So Jason Momoa left the crow. That's a real shame. Wrapping up movie news, Drew's a Cogburn HQ trivia game at 9 p.m. tonight. Prize, $200,000.
I will not be playing.
Get on it, man. Why not?
It's bedtime, Chris.
Oh, yeah, that's right. For $200,000, you're going to bed?
Yeah. I'm not going to get anywhere near that $200,000.
You just got to get 12 questions right.
I'll get like
one. You just got
one.
Five.
You just got five. Thank you.
Yeah, these were written by this moron.
Have some faith. Oh man, I'm a trivia hostess with the mostest. I'm a quiz smith.
I don't know about the mostest. You are a quiz smith. I don't know about a hostess with the mostest.
You come to my games.
You're the hostess with the mediumist.
Ooh. Ooh. Here's let's do the segment of the people.
I'm what you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Populi.
Drewsta Cogburn, you will be reading the emails that we get from our listeners. They can send us an email at cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, and then you will read it. For example, Drewsta Cogburn, take it away.
We got an email from Ron.
What's up, Ron?
Explain your thoughts on Florida Project ending, please. If your ex start dating an ugly but younger version of you, does that speak about you or his taste? Because mentally and physically, you over it. And know it's a good breakup, but oh, those Instagram pics hurt you every time. And you want to be mature and say we can be friends, so you invited them to see Deadpool, but then he say he can't fuck you because he's seeing someone. Fuck it. I am going to see Upgrade. That should be fun and mindless. I don't like going to see movies. I don't like going to the movies to see depressing movies. Mm. Real life is good enough for me. Right. But is that sad on my part? I love the art of film. Should I suck it up and watch them for their art? By the way, I apologize for making Chris uncomfortable at that soccer game. I was just trying to make you laugh. And to Drew the same. Not trying to offend, but nah, we can't have that affair. I was into twinks at the time. Trying then, now though. Still a no to you, Drew.
Aww. Ron, you didn't make me feel uncomfortable at all. You saw about, I told a story about how, it was with Boris, right? Yeah. Mentioned.
Like 2 weeks ago.
Like, about me being recognized in public. It's only happened like once or twice. And then Boris did a thing where he called us a celebrity at the art gallery. He said we were celebrities, introduced us on mic, and then someone came up and was like, you're a celebrity? I'm like, ain't no celebrity, man. I'm a nobody. Or I was at a Orlando City soccer game, and it was the first time I met Ron. He came up to me and asked to take a picture, and we took a selfie, right? He was holding the camera out, and before he snapped the picture, he goes, I want to smooch that face. And I was like, that's a weird thing to say. It's a weird thing for this man to say to me as another man. And then I found out later he was gay. It's like, oh, he's just a compliment. He's being a sweetheart the whole time. He never made me feel comfortable. No. Uncomfortable, Ron. I didn't mean to make you to think that. I apologize. Now it's just an apology Ouroboros, which is just the worst. It's just disgusting. Don't do that. Ron, you're the best. We love you, buddy. I've yet to see. I've only seen like the first 15 minutes of the Florida Project.
No, I haven't seen any of it.
You haven't seen any of it. Have you seen
it? It is on Amazon, though.
I know it's on Amazon. Yeah, I've been meaning to get around to it. But the thing is, it's kind of a sadder movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I gotta be in the mood to kind of watch something about poor people in Florida. So I can just look in the mirror.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not there. I'm not that poor, but I'm still.
Yeah, I'm not living in a motel poor, but I mean, there's a shitty motel just about seven right minutes down the road. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not that far removed from these motels.
I'm one lose my job away from.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%.
One medical emergency away from moving with my parents, So, I mean, come on, we're all that way. Can't comment on the ending, Ron. Sorry, I haven't seen it yet. Did he say that on Instagram though? And what was that about? You're not getting fucked and the Deadpool and.
Mm-hmm.
Ron, you need a hug? If Ron was here, Ron, I'd hug you if you were here, buddy. Ron needs a hug. It may be a kiss from Drew.
He said it's not into me.
None of the twinks.
And still a no to you, Drew, at the very end.
Yeah. None of the twinks. You're pretty.
Ron doesn't want to fuck me.
But you're tall, though.
I am.
You got some gray in your hair.
I do.
Turns into a bit of a daddy.
A little bit.
Skinny daddy, but a bit of a daddy.
Even though I will never have a child.
Ron's older than you, though. No, not about being a child. No, not that kind of daddy. Oh, Drew. All right, so you're more of a zaddy.
I don't even want to know what that means. We got an email from Scott.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, look it up on Urban Dictionary. You'll be like, oh, okay.
Yep, that fits.
You guys got to get on that black Twitter. It's way better than normal Twitter. Go ahead, Drew.
He's got reviews for Solo, A Star Wars Story, and Upgrade.
Who, Scott?
Yes.
Scott's our homie. Let's hear it, Scott.
Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Solo.
I liked it. It was fine. I was entertained. I thought both Ehrenreich and Glover pretty much nailed their performances of such legendary characters. No small feat for those guys. So they deserve all the kudos they can get. The Han Chewie meet cute was fantastic. I really liked L3. The action scenes were all good and exciting. I left the theater mostly feeling like I got my money's worth.
All right.
Not overwhelmed, not underwhelmed, simply whelmed.
So right down the middle is what, which is like what we're saying, right?
Yeah, it seems to be the consensus.
100%. Very few people I'm seeing saying that they love it. I'm seeing a couple people saying that they hate it. But it seems mostly right down the middle. It's almost like, why? Why is this movie even here?
And then a few hours passed, and the more I thought about the whole movie, the more it all felt so pointless. What really happened? Not a whole lot. It was fun, but meaningless. And then I listened to y'all's spoiler episode.
Right, we did a whole spoiler episode.
And when Drew did the math about a certain thing that happened at the end...
Character reveal.
I switch flipped in my head. I immediately and said out loud in front of four strangers at Publix, holy shit, he's right! That one stupid, completely unnecessary bit of fan service completely soured the cotton candy feel of this movie. They went and fucked up the entire Star Wars timeline for nothing. Why? Why did they do that? So now, how is Chewie, sans Han, in episode 3 helping Yoda? Makes no sense. Can't wait to see how the next two Solo movies retcon the fuck out of this unforced error. Fuck fan service, just write good Star Wars stories from now on, please. Man, if a movie ever kicked itself in the nuts, I guess it makes sense that it was about Han Solo. This movie needs a behind-the-scenes Leia to save it from itself. Two stars.
Interesting. So, repeating a lot of things that we're saying about the underwhelming nature of it, the pointlessness of it, the fan service is like the worst part. Although he did mention again the... what did you feel about the Han... Chewie, the way they connected, the way they first meet. Did you like that? Did you not like that?
It just felt so quick and forced.
It was pretty quick.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a Hollywood trope anyway. It's pretty rare when you have two people meeting and not their bond becoming close so quickly.
So fast. So it has to happen under extreme circumstances. The original screenplay had Chewie saving Han on a battlefield, but then they had to fix that. They had to change that because they're like, oh, well, actually... Chewie is by Han's side because Chewie has a life debt to Han. So Chewie can't save Han. Han has to save Chewie somehow. So they came with that whole thing.
Which makes sense, I guess.
But that's the thing. So now you're working with... You have established canon. You have established facts. Now you're trying to write a screenplay that is fitting these facts as opposed to just writing a good movie.
Yeah.
So just like Scott said, just write a good movie.
Yeah.
Forget about all this other stuff.
We know those things happen. We don't need to see them.
Yes, exactly. We know his name's Solo. We don't got to know the dumb reason why.
Yeah.
So dumb. In a list of dumb things, that was the dumbest, I felt like.
Might have been.
Right? Yeah. Now, when we did our bonus episode, our spoiler bonus episode, there's that big character cameo
at the end.
Reveal at the end that... we couldn't. Drew pointed out we couldn't wrap our mind around it because timeline-wise, it didn't make any sense when you compare the timelines.
At least, only knowing what I knew at the time.
Yeah,
only
watching. That.
Yes,
yeah.
Only watching the movies. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Then we look it up online. After we hit, all right, show's over, hit stop. It's mixing down on the computer, and then I pull the phone.
Like, what the hell?
I do a search, and then I start reading articles. That's like, oh, all this stuff happened in the Clone Wars, I think, or Rebels.
Yeah.
Or
Rebels, I believe.
Rebels,
yeah,
yes. Whatever, one of the animated things.
So it's
things.
TV fan service.
TV stuff. So it's like character stuff that happens in starts in the movie, goes to TV, and then comes back to movies, which I think Drew pointed out the only time that's happened.
Yeah.
Right? The only time.
Mm-hmm. That I can think of.
That character, the way a character gets developed like that
yeah.
from different mediums. So we were, we're just not big enough nerds.
You can put Saw Gerrera in that same category because he's also in
one of
the two cartoons, and that's where you get all his character development.
That's where he started, though. And
yeah.
That's not new. Someone starting on television and then making a leap to movies.
Yeah, without getting into details, what Drew's point was, it was a character that started in the movies, then went to TV, and then has come back to the movies, but the way it's presented in the movies, you wouldn't even know that it was possible the character could be in a TV. Really trying not to know. Give away the movies have been out for like a week or so. Guerrero also Grievous.
Yeah.
Grievous.
Yes. Correct.
He got injured in the cartoon, and then when he pops up in episode 3, he's all injured and coughing. Yeah. And you're like, what's up with this weird character?
Yeah.
But it's because you got to know that. And that was one of the few times when I had watched a little bit of the cartoon. Mm-hmm. And so I knew going into it who Grievous was and what his deal was and all that stuff. Although it was still an amazing reveal.
Yeah.
When he's getting ready to fight and he takes off his cloak.
And he's got a bunch of arms.
A
whole bunch of lightsabers.
Yeah, and then they just start spinning. And then Obi-Wan, Ewan McGregor, his face is like, oh shit.
Yeah.
He's like, what do I do? Yeah, that's probably the best part of that movie. Oh my God. Drew, I'm going to rewatch those prequels, man.
You do that.
And then I bet you I'm going to love them.
He's got an upgrade review.
Probably not. Oh, upgrade, here we go. The not Tom Hardy.
It really didn't help that my theater showed the Venom trailer right before this movie.
Interesting.
Because the similarities are glaring.
Huh.
Right down to the almost but not quite Tom Hardy lead. Instead of a symbiote, it's a piece of tech. But other than that, this movie is almost the exact same dude gets superhuman abilities plus voice in his head anti-hero vengeance story.
Huh.
I did like how the STEM tech, or should I say character, when it's allowed to be in full control of not Tom Hardy, made the guy move in such a robotic way. He would walk stiffly, make 90-degree turns with his whole body, make such overt maneuvers that would be typically a lot more subtle if a human was in charge of the body.
Hmm.
The dude moved as a robot would, lacking all the human swagger that comes naturally to us.
Hmm.
It's a detail that some might think makes not Tom Hardy look clunky, but I think it's totally apropos to the STEM character.
Hmm.
From a production standpoint, I think it's a really clever attention to detail. And that's what made the fight scene so fucking dope and gruesome. The awkwardly moving human was slaying fools in hand-to-hand combat with the cold calculus of an artificial intelligence as the human husk recoiled at the sheer viciousness and vomited in the aftermath. Those scenes are filmed so well, especially if you like gratuitous brutality, and the ending is really cool. Wasn't expecting that. Ultimately, this movie is kind of stupid, but it does have its moments.
It was like all positive.
Yeah, man. I was like, oh man, I'm on board until that last sentence.
It's a poor man's Venom, though Venom seems to be doing a poor man's Venom all by itself.
That's
two
true.
Stars, take care,
only
guys.
Two stars? That sounded like a rave review for a second there.
No, it's totally on board.
It sounded like the movie was garbage except for the fight scenes.
I want to see some good fighting. Yeah, I got that movie pass.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go check out this movie with my movie pass.
There you go, Chris.
All right, very cool. I really appreciate the info. Scott, you're doing our job this week. We didn't review any movies, so Scott did it. Thanks, buddy.
And we got to...
Our listeners step up for us every now and then, and they do good.
We got an email from Gabe.
Gabe's our homie. We love Gabe.
What up, show?
What's up, Gabe?
Binge season 5 of Arrested Development on Netflix. Way better than season 4.
Oh, interesting.
Hits the pacing of seasons 1-3 and fits better in the series.
Oh, he's talking about that rejiggered
season 4.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
what
you call it, season 5.
Yeah.
Because they are technically doing a season 5.
Yeah.
I saw an article about that and it said the guy did it just so they could be on TV. What is that?
For syndication. Yes, exactly. So
it was
then
like
they could
just to make money.
Yes. So then the cast was like, whoa, shit, if you're going to do that, then pay us. Because if this is going to be on TV syndication, we want in on that syndication money that we deserve. It's crazy how they took it. And then, so it technically makes the season longer, too. Because there's more episodes now. The way they cut it
ended up being like a full 22 episode.
Fascinating. It's really, really fascinating, actually. It's an interesting experiment. It's like a Steven Soderbergh level experiment of editing.
Of course, Ron Howard is a narrator and executive producer. And in this season, he includes his actual family in the show.
Huh.
Even his late father. Google it. Which got me thinking.
Oh, he got a... What's his name? Ruster. What's his dad's name? That's got a weird name.
Which got me thinking. Crespo Dome Battle.
Mm-mm.
Bryce Dallas Howard versus Jessica Chastain. Or as I like to say, Jessica Chastain versus not Jessica Chastain.
Yes, they do look... A lot of people say they look quite like... I actually don't have any trouble. I'm a face blindness kind of guy. I mix up Especially white people. I mix up you white people all the time. But for some reason,
again, me and this guy, we look so.
Sexism's the best. I can tell the difference between the two, but okay, Bryce Dallas Howard versus Jessica Chastain in the Crespo Dome. This is where, Nick, we take two actors, actresses, and we pit them together, and first we see which one is the better actor, and then which one would win in a fight. So first, which one's the better actor, Bryce Dallas Howard or Jessica Chastain?
I feel like I gotta go Bryce Dallas Howard, because I don't know much about Jessica Chastain. What movies has she been in?
Jessica Chastain, well, she had that one year where she was like in Zero Dark Thirty, The Tree of Life, and The Help. She was in all three of those movies within a span of a year, which is crazy. And then since then, she's been in The Debt. Remember that one? She was the best part of that one, where she played young Helen Mirren. Most recently, Miss Sloane, Molly's Game. She was the leads for both of those in successive years. What's probably her biggest role, Drew? Mama is a smaller one. It was a horror film where she had black hair.
I mean, Molly's Game. She was in The Huntsman. She was in Crimson Peak.
Crimson Peak.
I haven't seen any of these.
You haven't seen any of them? Really? Wow.
Interstellar.
Oh,
Most Violent Year.
She was the grown up version of the daughter in Interstellar.
Okay.
Let me just pull the picture of her. Maybe.
Most
Violent Year, which we mentioned earlier.
30.
I am a huge Jessica Chastain fan over. Like, I like Bryce Dallas Howard. I think she's perfectly fine. But I'm a huge fan of Chastain. Yeah, this redheaded lady. Does she look familiar at all to you?
Yeah, she looks like Bryce Dallas Howard.
She does look like Bryce Dallas Howard a little bit, yes.
But yeah, I know I've seen her.
Personally, I think it's kind of tough, but I would go with Chastain for a better actor, Drew.
I'm going to go with Chastain.
You go with Chastain?
Yeah.
Who would win in a fight? Who would win in a lady fight?
I feel like I need the reach stats, the weight, height.
Let's pull some stats. Drew, you pull up Bryce Dallas Howard's stats, like height, weight, all that stuff. I'll pull up Chastain's and we'll compare. Because, yeah, I feel like that's going to help as well. Let's see.
Well, Bryce Dallas Howard's 37 years old. She's 5'7". Of course, her weight is not on frickin' Wikipedia.
But she's
tiny. They don't do that.
5'7"?
She's 5'7".
I would put her at, like, 108 pounds.
I was about to say, no more than like 115.
I mean, itty bitty. Well, this website's creepy, bodymeasurements.org, in which it includes things like real or fake breasts, ? Natural, dress size, 2, breast weight. Wow, this is creepy.
It's a lot of research.
Yeah, Jesus, why is this even out there? Okay. Bryce Dallas Howard, 5'7"?
5'7".
Jessica Chastain, 5'4".
Ooh!
I thought
tiny
she was like,
lady.
It's amazing how it's amazing how movies do that. I would have sworn if I met Jessica Chastain, she would have been like my height, 5'11". Like, I'd be looking her eye to eye.
Yeah, how tall are those heels that she's wearing?
Yeah.
God damn.
I guess she's 5'4", weight 123 pounds, shoe size a 7. You know what that means?
Nope.
Big old clit.
That's what I've heard.
Biggest. It's almost a penis.
So stupid. No, now you're talking about Joni Lauer. Joni Lauer? China? You ever see that? China? One Night in China porn?
No.
She did a porn with her then at the time boyfriend X-Pac. Remember him? Sean Waltman?
He was a tiny man.
He was a small man, yeah. And they dated for a while, and it was a bad relationship for her because he was really into drugs, and she was trying to get clean, and did not work for her. Yeah, I read this really in-depth Rolling Stones profile on her after she died. That was fascinating. And
so the band, the Rolling Stones, did a profile on China.
Yeah, Mick Jagger was like, this is about China!
Did a whole album about her.
Album, yes! Not funny! That's a John Mulaney joke. They did a porn and it's like a thumb.
Ew.
All the steroids, all of them.
It was like a lot of that going on.
Yeah. Also a lot of butt acne on both of their parts.
Steroids
on both of their parts. Yeah, it's she's fantastic. I miss her.
Do you recommend it as a
Yes, it's the streaming pick of the week, the One Night in China, CHYNA. You gotta go to like PornMD or .com or have it, or one of those aggregate sites.
All right.
And yeah, fast forward to 8 minutes and 45. That'd be fucked up. In a fight, who would win? Man, I'm just gonna go with Reach on this one.
Well,
I mean,
dude, if Jessica Chastain's
neither of them have done action. No, Chastain did an action movie.
Did she?
She did. Wasn't she? Didn't she do one with Damn it! I think Chastain did an action movie. Yes, The Huntsman. You mentioned it. The sequel.
Yeah.
Not the original one, but the sequel, and she has some like action stuff in there. I don't think Bryce Dallas Howard has ever done any sort of action movie training.
Yeah, but she's got 3 inches on her.
But she has 3 inches. She has the reach. I'm going with fake movie action fighting trumps that little bit of reach.
Really? You're going with the training?
I'm going with the training. I'm going Jessica Chastain, the shorter one.
I'm going Bryce Dallas Howard because she's younger and has 3 inches of reach.
Oh my god, Nick. You're gonna have to sell it, buddy. Who do you think is gonna win this fight, Jessica Chastain or Bryce Dallas Howard?
Yeah, I feel like the training, it's just movie training. So you, in a fight where neither one knows how to fight, you roll with size. So,
All right, Bryce Dallas Howard declared the winner of this Crespo Dome battle in terms of the fighting. Jessica Chastain declared the winner for the acting. It's a split. It's a split decision. Two women enter, no women leave. It's a bloody redheaded death match to the death, as most death matches are. Thanks,
Bryce. Kate. Did just beat the hell out of Jessica Chastain. Mm-hmm. Would she get whatever role she was currently doing?
Oh yeah, she gets all the roles.
Yeah,
but then she gets overworked.
It's like a Highlander situation.
There can only be one
redhead.
There can only be one.
Emma Stone better watch out.
Yeah, Emma Stone. Nah, she has the lisp going for her. That's gonna set her apart. Like, we need a lisping actress. Give me that Emma Stone. Going back to movie news, celebrity sightings. Andrew Garfield, Emma Stone, maybe back together. Yeah, maybe. Peter Parker, Gwen Stacy, getting it back on. Drew, yeah.
Am I supposed to care?
Yeah, you are.
It's
very important. This is very important stuff.
It's the least important. Chris,
this
that is
the most important
Chris,
stuff.
That is the least important thing you've said all day long.
It's the most important bit of knowledge that we could learn this week. The entire week. They may be back together. Their chemistry is undeniable, Drew. Undeniable. It's like you and me. Undeniable.
And how many Puerto Ricans died during the last hurricane?
That doesn't matter. Dead Puerto Ricans. It's all about Roseanne Barr and Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone. Yeah, right. Together. Uh-huh. 5,700 Puerto Ricans. You know what that 5,700 Puerto Ricans, you know what that equals? Nothing. According to our government.
I'm only laughing because it's the sad truth.
Because it's fucked up. Because
it's uncomfortable.
Because it's an uncomfortable truth. As Donald Glover himself said, I love red bones.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Sikhyburn.
Yeah.
Is that it for D-Vox Popular?
Yes, it is.
And movie news is done, mm-hmm. right? And we already talked about Billy Dee, his death at the movies.
No, we did not. We have not done
Billy Dee. We have not done Billy Dee's death at the movies? Well, then here we go. Oh, here we go.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again. Heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
Ow! You're metal, dude! We're totally gonna kill you now.
That's right,
it's time for Billy D's Death at the Movies! Trisha Cogburn, let's see what Billy D has to tell us this week.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
You know how you can get on a plane and sit down and know that you're going to be sick by the time you land? Well, that happened to me this week. I stayed in Thursday and watched a bunch of randomly selected horror films while I was all medicated.
Alright.
The Night Watchman. This movie knows exactly what it is and does its job admirably and stupidly, and I had a lot of fun watching it. In it, security guards fight off Baltimore's beloved Cloud Blimpo and his vampire hordes. So I guess Blimpo and his clown troop were all killed in Romania, and their bodies are shipped back to Baltimore for autopsies. One of the coffins is mistakenly delivered to the wrong place, and vampires happen?
Vampires!
Because Romania?
Oh, that makes sense.
Some good gags and a lot of low-budget charm carry this movie. I had fun with this and wasn't ever bored. Asylum of Fear.
Asylum of Fear.
Yes.
Man, Bill must have been really bored.
This Ghost Hunters in a Haunted Place was really silly. I watched it all, and I don't even think it was that long, but it felt really long. The Thin Man.
Is thin it man. Just the Thin yeah. Man?
No, no, that was the review of Asylum of Fear.
Okay.
So now we're on to The Thin Man.
Yeah, The Thin Man, yeah.
Found footage movie where some unlikable Australian kids summon a demon for YouTube. This movie reaches its obvious conclusions, some insane continuity errors.
Oh, no, you said it right first time. Continuity errors.
pretty sure they actually filmed themselves kicking toads just to hear them scream.
Really? That's fucked up. Are you watching some fucked up stuff?
On Friday, the new Ghost album came out, and it's pretty fucking great if you're a Ghost fan. I also saw Slayer on the final tour stop in Connecticut.
Yeah, you did.
This wasn't like rich people suburb of Manhattan, Connecticut. This was fucking up there. And these were capital letters Slayer fans.
Hm.
Our fellowship effectively walked into Mordor. Slayer rocked because fucking Slayer. But the experience was fucking hilarious and crazy. So many local legends crawled out of their holes and down their mountains for this show. Proceeded to get local legend drunk and say things like, "This can't kick more ass," and "Can this kick more ass?" repeatedly. I was groped by a wasted leathery cougar. It was in a casino, and when the show ended, there was only one way out, through the motherfucking casino. So at 11:30, the doors opened, and 8,000 shit-faced Slayer fans poured out up among into the slots floor among the old Asian ladies and fishermen. All shapes moving under clinging up black shirts, bald spots slick with sweat. Choruses of Slayer rang out as the horde snaked through the casino and into the parking lots. Fucking hilarious. Stay cool, Billy D.
Man, we appreciate it, Bill. I've never seen Slayer live.
I have, nope. Actually.
When?
This would have been late 90s, probably.
Okay, where?
Yeah, at the House of Blues.
Ooh, a smaller venue. Yeah.
It was cool.
That's very cool. That's really cool.
Hatebreed opened for them.
Oh, that's a fucking heavy show.
Yeah.
That's really good.
It's someone else I'd never heard of.
Okay. But maybe, who knows, maybe now they're like some huge band or something.
They might be. I don't remember who it was.
It's funny how that happens. I saw Linkin Park once opening for, I can't remember who, but they were like one of the openers that only the people sitting all the way up in the front by the stage at Hard Rock knew who they were. I'm all in the back. Like, they got two singers. This makes no sense.
That's like when we saw Mastodon.
And then they were on the radio like a year later. Like, oh my god, they're huge.
And then it's never gonna work. That's like when we saw Mastodon open for Clutch at the Social.
Yeah. Clutch. Oh, Mastodon was still kind of big at that time. But not as big as
they are now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that was one of the loudest shows I've been to. My ears rang for 3 days after
that.
I never saw Slayer. That's awesome. Nope. You saw Slayer. That's very cool. This is their last tour, too. I wouldn't go see them now, though, because they're fucking like, they're 122 years old.
Yeah.
Each. So. But I did go see Pantera, and it was the last show of their last tour, but not their last show. I think they performed a few times after that, but it was the last show of the Reinventing the Steel tour at Hard Rock. Place was packed, and then because of all the speakers, all the shit they had on stage, it took them like an hour to set up the stage. So between the second to last band, who was either Morbid Angel or Soulfly, I can't remember. Between them and Pantera, was a full hour.
Jesus.
God, it was annoying. But they were playing music on the speakers, and they started playing Slayer's Rain and Blood, and the crowd started singing along.
Of course.
And like 1,000, 2,000 people singing Rain and Blood together was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it
was
pretty cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. I was only 18 years old. I was like, this is amazing. It was my first real, like, really big metal show, and probably the best one I've ever been to this day, so.
That's a good one to have been to.
It was great.
You'll never see them again.
No, you'll never see them again. It was, I can't remember the opening band, but then it was Soulfly, Morbid Angel, Pantera. The singer for Biohazard, his name is Evan something. He was hanging out, and he came out during Soulfly's set. It was all Soulfly was playing. They brought a whole bunch of drums on stage, and they just started doing like a drum circle during one of their songs, like Brazilian metal. And he came out. Someone from Pantera came out. Someone from Morbid Angel. It was ridiculous. It was
It's awesome.
Yeah. Good. Shout out to Bill. You can follow Bill online at I Love Blood. He's a good guy. We appreciate him. All right, so that was it. We did our main segments. It's time to wrap this thing up, Nick. So we are going to do the lightning round. Here we go.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
A little bit of unearth for you guys. Here we go, lightning round time. I have 10 questions and I need 10 answers. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right, let's do it. Answer them as quickly as you can. Drew, start that clock.
Go.
Number one, have you ever even seen a ShamWow?
No.
Number two, Holiday Inn Express or Red Roof Inn?
Red Roof Inn.
Number three, where is South Central LA?
In South Central California.
Number four... Who is Raphael Della Ghetto?
That's a Ninja Turtle.
Number five, do you know any poems?
No.
Number six, what do you think of the color blue?
It's beautiful.
Number seven, soda or pop?
Soda.
Number eight, what does CVS stand for?
I have no idea.
Number nine, have you ever had coconut Yoo-Hoo?
No.
Number 10, name three Nintendo games.
Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 2, and Super Mario Brothers World.
Ah, there we go. Well done, Jerza Cogburn.
He's wrong.
What?
Super Mario Brothers was for the Super Nintendo. It was just Mario Bros.
Oh, you took it literally off NES. I just said Nintendo. You could, I could have been talking about the company in general. You could have meant, you could name three Switch games. I would have taken it. It would have been fine. CVS stands for Consumer Value Source.
And Raphael Della Ghetto was Will Smith's alter ego from an episode of The Fresh Prince when he thought he was like a street poet.
Okay, not his alter ego, but yes, it's a Fresh Prince reference where he joined a poetry club and he made up a poem, says Raphael Della Ghetto, yeah. And then he needed to produce Raphael Della Ghetto. It was Jeffrey the Butler came out to pretend to be okay, Riz. And then he did cannons to the left of them, cannons to the right of them.
All I remember is that it was
a Fresh Prince.
A Fresh Prince joke.
That, so not a Ninja Turtle.
Not a Ninja Turtle, no. That episode was on this morning. Drew Chicago, swag baggery time. We have here a blue bag and a blue bag. Which
do you want? No, blue and cyan.
We have cobalt and cyan.
There we go.
There you go. Cobalt. Cobalt. Which of the two?
Cobalt.
Cobalt. Here we go. Break out that cobalt bag. Drew Chicago, and let Nick know what he may get to go home with today.
Sir, you may get to go home with... a glitter sand art set. It includes three bags of sand and a glass bottle.
There you go.
All right.
Some sand art. You can take that to work, put it on your desk, show it to Matt.
Yeah. We've got Kevin Sorbo and Dee Wallace star in the Junior Spy Agency. Nothing gets by these spies.
Perfect.
We've got a Cinema Crespedito bootleg edition of Rocky Balboa running 1 hour and 42 minutes. It's rated R.
Fantastic movie. I would recommend if you're a fan of Rocky, watch Rocky, Rocky 2, and then Rocky Balboa.
Okay.
We've got a Jokes and Gags whoopee cushion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You make some jokes.
You can surprise your friends with fart sounds.
Yeah, yeah. Fart jokes.
Well, that'll go over well in the office.
Yeah, it will.
Speaking of things that'll go well over in the office, we got a magnet that says, I pooped today.
Yeah.
I need that. And we have a pig flashlight.
A pig?
Wait, it makes noise.
Yeah.
I never noticed that before.
Classy, it makes noise. That's what I'm talking about. Nick, you can take this bag home.
Okay.
Or we put the bag away, you never see it again, and instead you take... what we have in the box.
I hate the pressure.
So much pressure. Nick, you know what's in the back. You have no idea what's in that box. What do you want?
Anything.
It could be anything except for a live animal because there are no holes in it.
And actual cash because we are way too poor for that shit.
It's definitely not a body part because as you can tell, the bottom of the box is not soaked. So it's something dry.
I feel like I gotta go with the surprise. You got me. You got me hooked.
All right, we're going with the surprise. Go ahead and pop the top on that thing. Reach in there and let everyone know what is inside.
This is actually really cool. It's a Wolverine Hot Wheels car.
Hey, look at that.
All right. It's got claws on it and everything.
It does.
Yeah, look at that. It's a Wolverine Hot Wheels car. Hot Wheels brand Wolverine car. Yeah,
I hope that's real adamantium on the front.
Also got a Wasp car, a Captain America car, and an Iron Man one.
Yeah,
they're each sold separately, subject to availability, colors, and decoration.
Dude, now that is perfect for your desk at work. You can pop it right down there and show it off the map. But like, this is what I got for being on Cinema Crespedito.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No, thank you. Hey, we had a lot of fun. Thanks for joining us, Nick. Absolutely. We really appreciate it, buddy. And thank you, Drew.
You're very welcome, sir.
Good times. And thank you for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Make sure you break up the big banks, be excellent to each other, read more books, and make sure you check out our interview with Lee Hazelwood this week. Oh, my God.
Wowzer.
If you want to hear an interview that covers everything from Rene Russo urination to cryptocurrency, listen to our Lee Hazelwood, Mark Hazelwood interview, son of Lee Hazelwood. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks a lot, guys. We appreciate it. Peace out.
A PFT Media production.